Hello, thanks for downloading the Outlook podcast. This is our top pick from today's programme. Here's Joe Fidgen.
Now, in a remote mountainous area of eastern Java is the village of Karang Patehan. What sets this tiny hamlet apart is the unusually high number of people with mental and physical disabilities, nearly a quarter. That's four times the national average. Life is tough for them, but one of the villagers, Eka Mulyadi, has taken it upon himself to do something to help. For Outlook, Candida Beveridge went to meet him. I should warn you that you may find parts of her report distressing.
As we enter the tiny, dusty village of Karang Patehan, a banner with Eka Mulyadi's face flies between two trees. Against his wishes last year, he was elected the village leader. Now his house is a hub for all people to come and pass the time, especially those living with mental and physical disabilities. Dewey is a middle-aged man who can't talk. He comes to Eka's house most days and sits on the steps that lead from the house to the street. Despite the oppressive heat, he's got three shirts on and two pairs of shorts. All are torn and tattered. He's pulling at his shorts and waving his hands in an animated way, trying to tell me something.
He's clearly talking to me and telling me that he's got clothes at home. You don't have any trousers.
Not knowing whether I understand him, Dewey turns to Eka and they begin an extraordinary conversation that looks like a dance. Eka is miming using his hands, his face and his whole body.
Saya menggunakan bahasa isyarat untuk mereka, jadi kode-kode.
I use sign language with him. I use every movement from my body and also my face.
What's he telling you at the moment?
Dia bercerita baru dikasih beras.
He just mentioned about he's getting the rice from the workshop. Then I ask, do you have clothes at home? Yeah, I have so many clothes. And how about trousers? I don't have any trousers.
Out on the street in front of Eko's house is Bagwas Waras, who's picking up rubbish. Bagwas was born with hydrocephalus. Although he's an adult, he's got the mental age of a child, and his head is twice the size of an ordinary head.
How old are you?
I'm 5 years old.
Dewey and Bagwas are two of 30 people here to be born with birth defects. With a total village population of 120, according to the World Health Organization, birth defects normally account for around 6% of all births, putting Karang Patehan at four times the global average. The situation first became apparent, says Eka, around 60 years ago.
The majority of people born with mental and physical disabilities were born in the 50s. There were no doctors here at the time. And the village was desperately poor. It wasn't until the children reached around 4 or 5 that the villagers began to understand that their children were not like other children. They wondered why they could not speak, why they were not growing like the other children. There was no help for them then. There were no schools for children with special needs. There were also no health clinics or doctors to go to. So these children became outcasts.
Eka grew up with neighbors on both sides who had children born with birth defects. As we walk up the road to meet them, wedding music comes drifting down the street from Eka's old house, where a marriage ceremony is underway.
This is my old neighbour, Sipon and her sons, Jamun and Dipon.
Jamun and Dipon are smoking hand-rolled cigarettes, leaning against a dusty concrete wall. Neither can talk. From the tiny doorway out of their home comes their mother. She's in her late 70s.
Hello.
Hello.
What is your name?
Sipon.
Sipon.
This is Jamun. This is Dipun.
Jamun and Dipun are in their 40s and have been living with a mental disability since birth.
Tell me, has it been very difficult to look after your sons?
No, not yet.
When did you realise that they had a mental disability?
I didn't know there was anything unusual with my babies until they were a little older. Unlike the other children, they couldn't talk. They just cried or laughed. I don't know why my children were born like this. It just happened.
Although he was exposed to many children living with disabilities, it wasn't until his father volunteered to look after an abandoned child that Eka really understood the lives these children were living.
When I was a child, my father invited a boy who was very badly disabled to live with us. I was just four, but I felt very sad for him. I was one of the few children in my part of the village to go to school, and this boy used to walk with me to school.
So what was your relationship like with this person?
He didn't talk because he couldn't talk, but I got to know and understand him very well. He became my friend. It was then that I noticed all the other people in the village like him.
How were these people treated in your village?
On the whole, when I was young, families in this village didn't know what to do with their children who were disabled. They fed them, but otherwise they ignored them and left them to fend for themselves.
As Echo grew up, he became more and more concerned about their welfare, especially the attitude towards them in the village.
Other people in the village looked down on disabled people. They just thought they were very stupid people. They even called them crazy. I was always worried for these people. They were so poor, and I don't think they were happy. They can't tell you how they feel, but I had a feeling they were really suffering a lot. I was concerned about what would happen when their parents die. Who would take care of them? Who would they live with?
The question everyone wants to know here is why. What is it about this area that caused so many birth defects?
Dalam satu kampung yang berada di RT.
I don't know why we had such a high number of babies born with birth defects in my particular part of the village. Some people put it down to inbreeding or genes. There's been no official research, but it is my strong belief and also the belief of the people here that the disabilities were caused by a poor diet during pregnancy.
What is your diet? What do people eat here?
Ketela, nasi tiwul.
The main thing they eat here is rice with cassava, nasi tiwul, which is made from corn.
Rice and cassava, so no green vegetables or anything like that?
Ya, sayur seadanya. Jadi sayur kan...
There are so few vegetables grown here, and in those days they grew no vegetables, just cassava and rice.
Because Echo was the only person in the village to go to university, he felt it was his responsibility to help where he could.
Tergugah untuk membuktikan kepada orang lain bahwa
I wanted to do something for these people. I wanted to prove that these people are capable. I wanted them to be treated as equals.
At first, he gave the poorest families with disabled children food and money, but he couldn't afford to keep giving from his own funds, so he began to look for alternatives like government grants. But it seemed his cause was invisible. In desperation, he asked a journalist to come and write an article about the village. When the story hit the papers, the village was dubbed the Village of Idiots. Echo was upset by this title. Ridicule was the last thing he wanted for his people. But a strange thing happened. It put Karampatihang on the map, and soon government funds arrived to revamp the village. Echo saw this as his chance to make a change.
Yang kami lakukan waktu itu kita ajak mereka kerja. Jadi yang fisik yang kuat.
When the government started a building program in the village, I asked the mentally disabled people who were physically strong to come forward. I taught them to do simple jobs on the building sites. They ended up helping to build a whole new infrastructure for the village. Roads, bridges, and the house. We even built a school.
When you first started doing this work with people who were living with disabilities in this village, how did the other villagers take that?
At first, people thought I was mad getting these people to work. They were really against it. People said it was impossible. But through this, perception began to change.
After the building program finished, Echo found other ways to keep the disabled people employed. He taught them how to become fish and chicken farmers, and he started a weaving workshop every Sunday at 11 o'clock. Today, they're weaving doormats, which they can sell.
So I'm in amongst the weaving women now, and... Suratun, what are you weaving here?
What they said?
Making something for the shoe, you know.
What was her life like before this, Echo?
Jadi sebelum dia,
she mostly stay at home.
So there are a couple of men here too, aren't there? What is your name?
Shwandi.
Do you feel better now that you're weaving? Do you feel more independent?
Yeah, I can do it on my own now. I'm happy.
But Echo hasn't been able to turn everybody's lives around. In the far reaches of the village, cut off by a river, lives Kampret. Kampret is 39. He's severely mentally and physically disabled. He's lying on a bare concrete floor, moaning. He's extremely thin and dirty and covered in scabs which look inflamed and sore. His father, who's sitting beside him, is blind. Kampret's mother is in her 70s. She sits down beside Kampret, trying to calm him. I ask her, why is he lying in the dirt? She assures me she baths him every day, and he has a bed, which he won't use.
So I have already prepared a bed for him over there, but he prefers to come out and sit on the sand. I took him to a doctor when he was a kid. He was angry every time I took him to doctors. He was furious.
But surely he should be looked after in a kind of medical facility, somewhere where, you know, he can be clean and his scabs can be looked at. I mean, what can you do for him, Eke?
Actually, we never bring him to the doctor because physical condition is he's fine. So that's why we choose not to bring him to the doctor.
He's clearly not fine. I mean, he should be seen by a doctor.
Ya, jadi begini, untuk dokter di sini kan...
The only doctor here in our village and also in Altan is just a public doctor. We don't have doctors who take care about the mental problem. So that's why we actually don't know what to do.
Selama ini yang kami lakukan memberi bantuan yang sifatnya konsumtif. Jadi kita...
The only thing that I can do to help them at this moment is just that I give them the proper food and sometimes I also give them money because I cannot involve him into the activities in the workshop because he barely could not understand anything.
It's a really tragic case.
Yeah, jadi ini memang sangat sangat kategorinya kategori yang sangat parah.
Yeah, it's very tragical condition because he is one of the worst case in our village.
How do the other locals treat him?
Nggak ada, didiemin lah. Kan orang
sometimes some people are afraid. They choose not to get close to him. But mostly, yeah, they ignore him.
Terima kasih. So we're leaving Kampret's house now. And I have to say that was one of the most distressing things I've seen. And it's obviously incredibly difficult for that mother. The father has cataracts and is blind. And she's looking after him completely on her own.
Eko promises to get the doctor to visit Kampret. He says he's sad he can't do more to help the family. What he can do, he says, is keep supporting people here so that far fewer babies are born with birth defects. In the last few years, there haven't been any.
Kalau sekarang semuanya kan sudah ada fasilitas. Ya, jadi orang miskin.
Nowadays, the village does have a small health facility. We also have midwives. So every birth is handled directly by midwives and doctors. I make sure they have a good diet. I monitor their diet during pregnancy and make sure they have a midwife. We haven't had any babies born with birth defects for a while now.
Candida Beveridge reporting from the village of Karangpatahan in eastern Java.
Thanks for listening to today's Outlook podcast. Don't forget, if you want even more of these extraordinary personal stories from around the world, you'll find them all on our website. Just go to bbcworldservice.com/outlook.